episode 345. This one, does it really need an introduction? It's Gary Mother Flippin' Dolphin. He's the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. When you hear him talk, goosebumps. All right, it's going to feel like it's football season, and it basically is. For a week and a half out, Gary is an absolute treat of a conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washoe Walk-Ons fans, episode 345 of the podcast. And today is a real joy for all three of us. We get a man fresh off of one hell of a European vacation. Glad to have him back in the United States. We were afraid that he was going to get stuck over there with no way home. So we're very glad to have the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Iowa City Hall of Famer. I just honestly, Hawkeye legend, Gary Dolphin with us, back with us for a second time. And we're overjoyed about it, man. We were really happy this morning talking about how we were going to be able to get you and have a conversation and talk some Hawks. It's really close to the season. So we're all pretty fired up. Gary, welcome to the show again. And thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for the introduction, Drake. I'm humbled, obviously. Good to be back with you and Kevin and with Tyler. I remember vividly all three of your careers and how you guys contributed to what has become quite a near 25-year run for Coach Ferentz. I think the coaches have been there about as long as he has. So you guys know who they are. But I always look forward to opening weekend, which is just a few days out now, because it's Fry Fest. I get to get back with Podolak and eventually Bobby Hansen for 35 basketball games. And, you know, the Hawks have won 12 Big Ten championships in the last 2 years. You think about that. It's been a remarkable run beyond those 2 years, but the last 2 years have been real special, and football continues to rock and roll. And I was in Europe, or I was in England, Great Britain and Wales and Scotland, checked something off my bullet list, which was to step on the Swilkin Bridge on number 18 at St. Andrews. That was an incredible thrill, the old course. Man.
Did you play all 18 holes, Gary?
No, I did not play the course. This was, I hosted a group of 40 Hawk fans. Two of them had to come home after 2 days because one tested for COVID, husband and wife. So we ultimately lost six. We didn't lose them. Six had to bail out because of COVID, which is still lingering out there. But this was a trip. You guys, you know, when you were babies, Ron Gonder was doing Iowa football games on WMT, and Ron, this was set up prior to COVID. And Ron is, I think, 85 or 86 now, and physically not able to host these things. So he asked me a couple of years ago to host this. Well, I didn't think it was going to be in August. Originally, it was scheduled earlier. And now they rescheduled it for August 4th through the 17th. I go, oh, my God, football just 2 weeks away when I get back. But it's worked out fine, because I've always wanted to get to St. Andrews. And when I saw that on the itinerary, I could hardly turn that down. It's amazing. I did not know it was a public golf course. So you can get a tee time typically a year out, and you don't want to miss your tee time, because if you do, you're out the gate, 88 and out the gate, as Podolak likes to say. And so it's amazing. Every 12 minutes, a foursome walks on, and you got number one tee box here and number 18 green here. It's just an amazing, and it looks like a gigantic green, this links course at the old course at St. Andrews. So I've always watched it on TV, you know, when Tiger and Jack and Arnie would walk across that 800-year-old bridge, which is about 8 feet long. I mean, it's just a little pathway over this burn, which is about 4 feet wide. But it's goosebumps on top of goosebumps when I'm standing up there and the gal's taking the picture. and a guy's waiting to hit off 18T. It is really unique. So I ran off there to get out of their way. Don't hurry, mate. That's okay. But it was a unique individual thrill for me. And I'm an old history buff. I love old architecture. And so I'm looking, you know, as you guys know, I'm a big military history buff. And
I heard about that last week, Gary, when I was
really,
talking.
An emphasis on the Civil War. I've been to every major Civil War battlefield or theater, Gettysburg, Antietam, wow. Shiloh. I mean, first off, it's incredible countryside, Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Pennsylvania. And so I'm looking at 300 and 400 year old buildings in Gettysburg. I'm thinking, wow, this is old. And I get to Edinburgh, Scotland, and the 1,200-year-old cathedrals,
yeah,
1,000-year-old buildings, and somehow they put these streets, which are about as wide as my computer screen, in between all these buildings. But we did Liverpool. We, you know, traced the steps of the Fab Four, and just had a great time. And we got back a week ago, so I took a lot of football prep work with me for South Dakota State, and we're ready to go, and great to be on with you guys.
Was this your first time across the pond?
No, I've been to Ireland once. My ancestors, I'm about 75% Irish, and the rest 25% Luxembourg. So I wanted to get to Ireland, made that trip probably 15 years ago. And now England. Next year, I'm scheduled to host a group to France.
All right.
And the main reason, you know, Paris is Paris. I get it. See the Cathedral of Notre Dame, even though it's burned out and waiting to be rebuilt. But the real reason I'm going is they added Normandy to the trip. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it'll almost be I think it's 79, almost 80 years since D-Day. And I said, I'll go if you add Normandy. So they put a couple days on there to go to Omaha and Utah Beach. And that'll be very emotional. I don't know how many thousands of our troops are buried there at Normandy, but it'll be a real thrill for me personally because of the history of our military. So, yeah, going to France next year and, you know, we'll probably have a glass of wine or two over there, Kevin.
There you go. You're 75% Irish. Drake's 75% CTE, so that's crazy.
Drake, I didn't know you advanced to 75%, Drake. Is that a fact?
Gary, we're sprinting towards the finish line, pal.
We got an exponential curve going on over here.
Well, you know what? There are medical remedies to as Pody says,
Drake
to alleviate that, slow that thing down.
Gary, I imagine that similar to the goosebumps you get standing on that bridge as football season nears, it's a similar sort of visceral feeling that you get being able to be back up in the box. I know for somebody like me or Drake or Kevin, just to be in the presence of Kinnick Stadium every year again, when this time of year rolls around, it's just, it brings back all the feelings of the greatness that is Iowa football. Is that true for you? Do you feel that?
I do. Absolutely. I mean, Kinnick is a shrine everywhere we go. When you mention the great stadiums around the country, Kinnick always comes up. It's always in the top 10 because, you know, you have the horseshoe and you have the big house, but I don't know of any place. That Penn State game last year was as loud as I've ever heard.
Unbelievable.
Kinnick Stadium. I mean, it was just incredible. I didn't think it could get any louder after I watched Duncan's field goal sail through the uprights to beat Michigan a few years back, or Danny's field goal to beat, I think it was Penn State at that moment too, on that Saturday night 15 years ago. And I've witnessed some great games at Kinnick Stadium, many that you guys were involved with. And every victory is special, but that place is extra special. And, you know, and you add into it opening day. And yeah, I know it's Labor Day and it's 85 degrees and it doesn't seem like football weather, but it is such a special place. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of where it is. As you guys know, it's right in that residential section of Iowa City, mm-hmm. right across the street from the from the hospital plant, Children's Hospital, and all these old homes built up around it. And it's hard to move around, Kinnick. I get that. And it's hard to find a parking spot, but that's part of the enamorment to me. Yes. part of the culture and the character as to why Kinnick is Kinnick, let alone the statue of Niall across the street from Melrose and Melrose. So now you got to win. I mean, winning makes it all the more special, as you guys know, but it's a special place. There's no question about it. It's 1929. Think about this. They built that thing for $460,000. Wow. I mean,
it's a decent return on investment.
Yeah. I would say your homes are worth that now.
That's significantly less than I had to pay for my house, which has a few fewer square feet.
Yeah. If you had the square feet of Kinnick, and you look at all the additions to a Kinnick,
I wonder what it's worth now.
Kinnick?
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't build Kinnick for
less than a bill.
Well, you could.
I'll bet you could get it done for less than a billion.
You could get it done for less than a bill, but it would be half a bill.
Yeah, 200, Kevin, 300 million.
You know, Bob Bowlsby, I hope he enjoys his retirement. Bob's a great guy and a good friend. He pulled the switch that hired me back in, 25 years ago. And Bob always told me about the pressure that Bump, Elliot, and then he, and the group, the athletic department, was put on because, you know, in a good way, the hospital plant has kind of swallowed up everything around it. And it's one of the great teaching hospitals in the world, let alone the United States, and a great place to cure your ills at Children's Hospital is one of the great stories, period. But they've always wanted that property and always put some pressure on the athletic department to move out to the West Campus, excuse me, where you now have all the new, you know, field hockey and soccer, mm-hmm. and where you have room out closer to Interstate 80 for easy in and out access. I said, well, what do you think? He said, we're not moving out there. He said, we'll put up with the traffic jams because Kinnick is right where it needs to be. And, you know, will it always be there? Well, I hope so. But you never know with progress and the new stadiums and all those wonderful things. But I'm guessing with that new football facility now across the street from Kinnick, we're going to be watching football in Kinnick Stadium for a long time to come.
If someday they knock down Kinnick Stadium, Iowa City better riot.
I want to be 6 feet under if that ever happens.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to witness that. Let me tell you.
You know, the NFL, they're doing all their big arms race with, you know, who can have the cooler stadium, because A, the teams don't have to pay for it. For some reason, the cities get off with paying for it. But I think the bigger draw in college is like the story behind the stadium, the history behind it. You know, it's historic Kinnick Stadium. I think that's part of the feel that Tyler talks about. You know, it's you wouldn't get that from a new modern, say you put SoFi Stadium over in the West Campus. I don't think. I mean, yeah, it's cool, but it wouldn't have the same, you know, history. Wouldn't have the same feel.
There's no story to it.
We've come to
no. Well, the proof's in the pudding. All of these great college stadiums now are being renovated. They're not being moved.
Right.
They're not being raised. Look at Michigan. Look at Ohio State. I mean, Kinnick Stadium's initial investment when they blew up the press box and renovated and put the suites in. It was about $120 million, as memory serves me correct. Ohio State renovated the horseshoe for $300 million. Mm-hmm. $300 million. Now, then you could build a new stadium for $300 million. Not today, obviously. So all of these great venues, and most of them are built in residential neighborhoods or on campus. That's the draw. That's the aroma of college football. You know, college football goes back to 1860 when I think Harvard and Rutgers or Yale first teed it up. And so there is that draw. There is that homeliness of having the stadium on campus, and people can walk around and enjoy the moment. You know, because unlike the NFL, and I know they pregame tailgate in the NFL, but it's nothing like college football.
Nothing.
You guys know that. And there's nothing really quite like Iowa City.
I mean,
know people in Madison will argue with me, and people in Champaign-Urbana. Well, maybe not Champaign-Urbana, but Ann Arbor and Columbus.
They're still trying to find the football stadium in Champaign.
well, Beals may improve on that. Bielema, he's off to a good start down there, but I'm old enough. You guys are, and I'm old enough to remember when Illinois was really good in football. But Iowa's had its number here of late, but those on-campus stadiums are just, and everybody has a great history, whether it's the Galloping Ghost, Red Grange, or Niall Kinnick, or Tom Harmon at Michigan, or Hopalong Cassidy at Ohio State. Great memories. And so I think with all the renovations Kinnick has gone through, you guys have been through that north end zone. I mean, that is an unbelievable refit or retrofit. Kinnick's not going anywhere, which I'm happy to say.
It's the heartbeat of Iowa City. You can't take the heartbeat.
It really is.
You can't take the heartbeat and put it outside the patient. It just don't work.
Hey, it's the heartbeat of our football team. Like Kinnick is worth so many points to us over the years.
Yeah. Now, when you can walk up the hill from the Wig and the Coralville Strip, and you can walk up the hill on Burlington from all the great venues downtown, why would you want to move Kinnick or even think about it?
Can't imagine. Now, I've had this question written down before we even got into this, but I'm really curious. What are some of your other favorite stadiums to go call a game in outside when we're on the road?
Well, that's a great question. I get that a lot, Kevin. The Horseshoe is one of my favorites. Kinnick's number one, but as I travel out, the Cantilevered Stadium is unique in Columbus because I'm trying to remember. It was been, 10, 12 years since we played last. Did you guys play there at all?
2013 we did.
Me and Drake weren't traveling there, so we never got to
play. Okay. Well, the noise, now it's 10,000 people. And when two items, the pregame, when they do the script Ohio and the band marches in it and they script out Ohio and the tuba player dots the I, that's really one of the unique traditions that nobody else can claim. But I remember that game when Vandenberg was a quarterback and we went to overtime. That might've been that trip, Tyler.
It was the one before.
One before that. Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
We went to in 2013, we were up at halftime
and then Braxton Miller started doing
and then Braxton
thing.
Miller and Carlos Hyde kind of did their thing. But yeah, the one before would have been 2010.
Might have been there. I remember Vandenberg was brand new and the poor guy. I mean, he gave a great effort for he was either a freshman or redshirt freshman, but to ask him to come into that environment was in and of itself a tall order. But the noise goes straight up. It hits the undercarriage of that third deck and just cascades right back down onto the turf. And, I'm a crowd noise guy. We've talked about this before with you guys. The louder, the better for me, because any play-by-play guy that doesn't get more fired up as the crowd noise enriches or grows is kidding you if he says it doesn't mean anything, because it does to me. I turn that volume knob up. I love the crowd noise. That gets me fired up and I think makes for a better broadcast.
You know who else turns up the volume on the crowd noise?
Who?
Wisconsin. They pump that bullshit in when they're not supposed to and you already can't hear.
They do.
And then they got 100 extra decibels of fake crowd noise bumping in your head.
And part of that is at Camp Randall. Now that's changed a little bit over the years. But Camp Randall was, I always thought, a smaller version of the Big House. Michigan Stadium is built into the ground. So when the noise goes up, it just goes straight up and out. So it's not that loud. Camp Randall, now they do the jump around at the end of the third quarter. And you're right, Drake, they pump in the crowd noise. Camp Randall's still very, very loud, though. And because of where that stadium is located, you know, the old field house is almost connected to it in the south end zone. It's got a lot of character. I love Camp Randall. I love Ohio Stadium. I like Purdue Stadium. First off, it's very old, old quarterback U. Each Big Ten stadium has a unique story to it. And they're all fun to go to. And they have been for 25 years because the Hawks have typically done very well in all these stadiums, with the exception of Ohio State. They haven't been there that much often to Ohio Stadium, but you know, they played well under Kirk at Michigan, played well at Purdue, not lately, but that'll change this year. They're a little extra motivation this year with the Boilermakers. They played great at Minnesota. You know, I'm old enough to say I've done games in the old Memorial Stadium when that stadium was on campus back in the 70s, old rickety wooden stadium. It was a great place to go to a football game. You know, Nebraska. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry I have to bring up Memorial Stadium.
Great stadium, though.
Great stadium.
It is a great venue. I actually
enjoyed playing there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is loud. Those people are passionate. Those Huskers are passionate about their football. It'll be interesting. Of course, it always is when Nebraska comes to Iowa City this year, especially with Scott somewhat on the warm seat.
I was going to say, what do you think about the hot seat there, Gary, with Frost?
You know, I've always liked Scott as a person, and I think he's a good coach. You don't get a job like that unless you're a good coach. But Nebraska is a different cup of tea than Central Florida was. And he knew that going in. And, you know, he's got some Iowa influence on that staff among his coaching staff. So, you know, they're all good guys. You know, I'm delighted that the Hawks have owned that series, particularly in the last half dozen years. And hopefully it's another dominating performance the day after Thanksgiving. But he's under pressure. There's no question about it, but he knows it. And you know, the AD is an Iowa guy. Trev Alberts is from, I believe, Cedar Falls, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Which means nothing in this conversation, but Trev's a sharp guy and he'll make a good decision one way or the other at the end of the year.
I hate to do it to you. I really do. I don't want to block a conversation with Gary Dolphin, right? You're having a great time. You're listening to Gary. His voice is mesmerizing. It's been an incredible first 20 minutes, but we got to keep the lights on around here. Got a kid to pay for. It's coming fast. You got to pad that book a little bit. So let's talk about DRF Sportsbook. Did you guys know that they found us? I mean, like, usually how this happens is when you make a connection with a sponsor or an advertiser, usually the show is selling those spots. I mean, we were selling that spot to DRF, but DRF found us. They approached us, right? They came to Iowa. They decided that Iowa was going to be a place where they dropped their sports book and wanted to try and grab hold of the market in sports betting. ia.drf.com. If you're interested, use code RADIO20 or RADIO300. Get back to that in a second. But they found us, sought us out. We had multiple meetings, and they said, we want you guys to front us. We want to use your platform to grow our brand within the state of Iowa, which means they entrusted us and our listeners, you guys, with helping them become Iowa's sportsbook. Go to ia.drf.com to sign up now if you haven't, even if you already have another sportsbook app, right? They're giving you free money. Sign up, become part of DRF, do the thing. Thank you. Going to talk about AdCraft as well. As you guys know, we just did an awesome store with them. Laporta's doing an awesome store with them with the tight end university shirts. They're incredible. I truly don't know. I'd have to do the research, but I kind of already did when we found these guys. I don't know if there's another company in Iowa that is as good as them. They have multiple times offered for me to come out to Clinton and like tour the facilities, see how things are done, watch literally some of our orders be packed and shipped. And I want to so bad. It's just 3 hours away. But the hospitality, the kindness, the back and forth, the problem solving that they have at that place is incredible. The people, you always hear about how people make organizations and teams. I think they figured out that part over there. They've got people in every spot that you need that know how to get stuff done. So if you're into custom merchandise, maybe you're already printing some, maybe you need to expand, maybe you just had an idea and you need to find a way to take that idea from concept in your brain into reality. And that reality is some sort of apparel. AdCraft are your people. Go to adcraftwebstores.com today for all of your custom merchandising needs. Now, let's get back to the legend, Gary Dolphin. We got a better guy from Cedar Falls on our side.
Jack Campbell. He's the best middle linebacker in the world. Did you know that, Gary?
Yeah, I'm glad you informed me of that, Drake. I'm watching practice the other day, and I won't say who he hit.
Uh-oh.
But I'm talking to a trainer on the sideline, and I'm probably 30 yards from the play, and it was a counter and a cutback, and all of a sudden I hear this pop. You guys know what it means to pop the pads.
Oh yeah.
I'm 30 yards away and I look, and this running back is just landing on his backside. And he's a very good running back.
Oh no.
And he's a big, strong running back. I look, and just kind of hovering over him is 31.
Ugh.
And I thought I was having a Matt Roth flashback. I'm thinking the only other guy who wore number 31 that could hit like that was Matt Roth.
If you're getting compared to Matt Roth, you're doing something extremely right.
You gotta have
Now mentally, Soup.
Yeah, yep.
Is nowhere near
say, yeah.
Matt Roth's planet, but he has the same approach, football wise. Football mentality. And that is, you come anywhere in my frickin' area code and you are bear meat. You are fair game. And Campbell had maybe a half a dozen of those. And I asked the coaches on the defensive side, I said, what's the deal here? I mean, this was a full scale scrimmage. I get it, but I've not heard or seen, well, we sucked on kids' day. Apparently the offense owned the day. Now I was still over in across the pond, and that's all Phil Parker needs is to motivate his guys. So they were, and the offense had their moments last Saturday, but the defense was, and we know going into the year that the hat is hanging on the defensive hook. Okay. That's the tempo setter, but to your point, Drake, I've not, the last guy I saw that big who can hit like that, his last name was Butkus. And I'm not comparing him to Dick Butkus yet, but Butkus was that size and could run sideline to sideline because he was so instinctive.
So, Gary, are we talking about the same Butkus that has an award named after him?
Yeah, the guy that's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that one.
The guy that played on so many bad Bear teams, yet killed everybody on the other side of the line of scrimmage. The guy that would walk up and chunk a loogie on top of the football as the center was about to grab the ball.
Yeah.
That actually happened. Mick Tinglehoff with the Vikings, who was an all-pro center, leans over to grab the football, and he gets up and he points. Hey, there's a big snot loogie on the football, and Butkus is standing there smiling. Right.
So right, it's actually funny. Coach Wallace just texted all of us not too long ago, you know, checking in on us. I'm about Seth to text him and say, hey, coach, I know that Jack is far superior from like your coaching abilities, but one way you can coach him, just coach him up to spit on the football before the center snaps it. Really assert his dominance. It's like a dog pissing on his fire hydrant. I really like that. I want to see Jack spitting on footballs.
I don't want this out publicly, but it wouldn't bother me at all if Jack went up and dropped a loogie on the on the threads at some point this year. Now, he won't do that.
No, he's too nice.
He's too good of a young man. But when he puts that, when he straps that helmet up, he plays at a different level than anybody else. And, you know, he's flanked by good guys, too.
I was about to say, we've got some really good linebackers.
Seth Benson. I mean, that guy. I was on a show the other night, and I mentioned, because I was asked about the linebackers, I say collectively with Higgins and Jacobs, you can throw them in there. I mean, they all bring something different to the party. Speed, you know, above the shoulders, mentally. That's Seth Benson. He reminds me a lot of Josie Jewell in this way, in that when that offensive huddle breaks, Seth's moving because he knows what's coming. And Josie was the best that I've seen at that position at understanding where the play was going. And he was always there first, shoulders squared up. and one of the surest tacklers that I've ever seen at Iowa. And Seth brings a lot of Josie Jewell to the table in terms of textbook tackling. You guys know that this defense under Parker has been always terrific at open field, solid textbook tackling. Seth Benson is one of the best on that unit.
I don't think we would still have a podcast if it wasn't for Phil Parker. His defense has saved this podcast for a couple of seasons in a row.
What's the magic with him, Dolph? How does he do it?
Phil Parker?
Yeah.
Well, he's no relation, but he's a clone of Norm Parker. That sounds simplistic, but whatever base defense means, Phil has the same mentality that Norm had. I'll go to Vegas on your money. I'm not going to Vegas on my money, which when you translate it, don't let them beat you over the top. And Norm always felt that be physical. And when you have a Jack Campbell or a Lucas Van Ness or a Joe Evans, guys that can get to the quarterback. And then you got in the back end guys like Riley and Kayvon Merriweather and Roberts and Harris and when I asked one of the coaches the other day, I said, you know, this Cooper DeJean is pretty impressive. Where do you think he'll settle in? What position will he end up in? And the coach said, anywhere he wants to play. Wow. So what's that tell you? How's that for an endorsement of Cooper DeJean? Kevin, and the guy really hasn't played
about,
yet.
Yeah, Kevin was hoping they'd say that about him, and they moved him to linebacker. So,
well, he said, why don't you go run into some wedges on kickoff?
Yeah.
He's a little undersized as linebacker, but he always brought it. Kevin always brought it, you know, stuck his nose in there. Yeah, go break up the wedge. That's always fun, isn't it? Ward Dog.
I'm going to be honest. I was actually a little upset when they banned the wedge because that was all I got paid to do.
Blow it up, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You were a running time bomb.
Nice.
But you're right. Defense is has carried the day for Iowa a lot. And, you know, I can remember great offenses at Iowa too. And hopefully they'll find that balance. You know, two of the three phases, you mentioned defense, a lot of that defensive success has had a lot to do with the big toe of Torrey Taylor. I've seen kickers that can boom it before. I don't know that I've seen at Iowa anyway, a guy that can place the football inside the 20 with the authenticity that he does. He hit one Saturday. It nosedived into the three and it bounced straight up. I thought, okay, and the guys are surrounding it. And it came down and it wiggled and did its impersonation of a spinning top and then plopped over at the two. And I'm watching that.
He was at St. Andrews and he pulled
out. Kid's got a great sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, his leg is a 56 degree. I'm telling you, just backspin, whatever. And, you watched him last year. I think half of his punts died inside the 20. I don't have the stats in front of me, but you look at everybody kicks at 45 yards a punt now. I mean, that's the dividing line. That's a given. Very few hang it for 4.5 seconds. And as Podolak, who was one of the greatest special teams player in the history of the game, certainly at punt returning, said, when you're returning kicks versus returning punts, it's like night and day. Because he said kickoff, of course, today they all line drive into row, what, 8? Yep. Through the goalpost, so you don't get a chance. But you can see it coming at you, and you got the guys in front of you. He said, punting, he said, when that thing's dropping down from 8 stories and you're glued on it and you hear the thundering hooves of 11 players minus the punter roaring downfield to rip your head off, he said, you got to be a special punt returner. You got to be a special human being to return punts. Now you add in a guy like Torrey Taylor, who just it seemingly hangs up there for an eternity. And it's also deep. You can see what a weapon he is and has been for a couple of years.
He's a special talent for sure. I wish I could have snapped to him. Pretty amazing.
He is.
We get close here. We're 11 days out. How much, what does your prep look like right now? I saw you fumbling notes around and what does that look like for you? What's your process?
Well, I mean, this is just, and by the way, I conserve paper. I two-side print. I'm using stat sheets from last basketball season.
Coach, yeah. You're like Coach Ferentz.
Is Coach Ferentz that way?
I think so.
I didn't know that. So here are my notes from some of my notes from Saturday's scrimmage. here's the depth chart from the Citrus Bowl. Because I like to go back and refresh, on the returnees.
They gave me Tyler Kluver a media pass to the Citrus Bowl.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do a podcast from down there?
We did do a podcast. And
Washed Up Walk-Ons?
Yes, sir. You said it, Gary. We're big time around there.
Well,
we're
hey. Big time. So, I mean, did you have fun in Orlando? Were all three of you down there in Orlando?
No, it was just me.
Oh, okay.
Kluver's the only one embezzling funds.
I spent all the company money on a...
Dolph, you haven't heard this, but...
How did I not run into you guys if you were in Orlando? Now, two of the three weren't, so okay.
Upside down on a trip to Universal Studios. Him and his wife spent more money than they even were allowed to spend on their credit card to get into Harry Potter World. And they're still trying to make it up from our money.
Tyler, will you grow up, for crying out loud?
I know, right? Well, they gave me
Harry Potter.
Oh, come on, Dolph. That place is amazing.
You ever had a butterbeer, Dolph?
I've never had a butterbeer.
If you had you might change your mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it delicious?
It's better than most ice cream you've ever had.
It would have tasted better if we would have won the game.
Now, isn't he from Cedar Rapids? He's originally from Cedar Rapids. You ought to get him on a podcast.
Who?
Harry Potter. The bespeckled kid in the movie.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Is he?
The original Harry Potter. I think I remember he was born and raised in Cedar Rapids. I could be wrong on that, but double check that out. Will you?
That would be wild. I'm
looking that up right now.
I thought you were going to look it up right now. There.
No, I wouldn't troll you guys.
Gary, we've got a little private chat for our listeners.
Uh-huh.
And they just reminded me that I have a soundbite. So I've got a soundboard over here and I actually have a soundbite of you. And whenever Kevin is away from the podcast for a long time, we play this clip. I hope you can hear it.
Okay. Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
And it's from one of the games.
That's it?
You didn't talk much about Kevin during
the game. You don't have the tackle? I assume he hit the wedge or blew it up or made a tackle.
Right, and then he was hurt, I think, for a play or something. And so you said, Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there. So we use that little soundbite on our podcast all the time.
When he returns.
Right, yeah, when he comes back. So people were like, we need a live Kevin, well, you get to see Kevin back out there. Yeah,
full disclosure now, Pody and I have gotten to know Kevin's parents quite well on road trips, and in Iowa City. Yeah, and so his dad is his mom is a saint, but his.
Do you
dad
know about
is,
the Hall of Fame tailgate, Gary?
I've heard of it. I've never experienced it, but I can remember in Champaign, Urbana. One Friday night, we stayed out a little late and it was an early kickoff. And Kevin's dad and I in Podolac, and we didn't close the bar down, but it came close to that. And we had great conversation. And
sure you did.
I didn't relay any of it the next day on the air, but I thought, you know what? I got to get Ward's name mentioned more because his brothers have been prominently mentioned in the past. And so Kevin deserved his due. And so that's probably, yeah, no problem, man. Pretty say cool. Hi yeah, to your folks.
I heard about that night and my dad tells me later, he's like, I think Dolph's head hurt a little more.
Yeah. That's it. And of course I used to be able to run with the, as Hayden used to say, if he always called it the front porch picnic. And somebody said, what's he mean by that? What he meant. And he said in his book many times, if you can't run in the tall grass with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Stay on the front porch. And I never forgot that. Hayden.
Incredible.
Yeah. If you can't run with the big dogs in the tall grass, just stay on the front porch. Something to that effect. But
somebody call the merch guy. Are you kidding me? Let's put that on a t-shirt.
If you can get all that on a t-shirt or not. Well, he... Front Porch Picnic. I think it wasn't that the name of the book that he wrote. I think.
I don't know.
I could be wrong on it. Yeah, you guys are a little young for that.
But. Well, I mean, we don't read anyway, you know.
Well, or can you? Yeah.
Well, and that's a good question too. You know, I know that we can watch, and there's a new Niall Kinnick documentary coming out.
It debuts tomorrow. Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Have you guys previewed it or seen the?
Well, we had Scott on, who's the film director.
Yeah.
And
Scott's a good guy.
And they're showing it in the theater here in Waukee. So I'm very excited to go see it. It's
you're going tomorrow?
Sometime this weekend.
Cool.
My question is, why did it take so long to do a documentary or a movie about Niall Kinnock? I mean, that is Hollywood vintage stuff. War hero, Heisman Trophy winner, Phi Beta Kappa. A lot of historians say he certainly would have been at the very least a United States senator, maybe president of the United States. You know, his grandfather was governor of Iowa.
A couple of historians said he did pretty well with the ladies.
Well, you've seen pictures of him. Come on, Drake. Think about it.
He was standing up with the president talking about the Croix de Guerre.
I mean, really.
Hollering at him, too.
The late 1930s, coming out of the Depression. What young lady wouldn't want to date Niall Kinnock?
Kid was good looking, too. You know, had a chin on him.
You know, I had his cousin on last November, Veterans Day. His, I believe, second cousin. This guy's name is Clifford Stump. He lives in Dallas in a assisted living home. He's 97 years old.
97 is a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That's a great number, as a matter of fact. Anyway, he flew into Normandy on a glider. In other words, the B-29s, B-27s dropped these gliders, and they would hope to land in an open field. Yeah. Cliff Stump, 82nd Airborne, 82nd Airborne Division, the famed 82nd Airborne.
What if you didn't find an open?
Well, the Germans put up those concrete stumps. You know, they built them right into the ground. He said, well, if you hit one of those, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you right now. But I did an interview with Cliff. And you know, first off, I'm in awe because he went from D-Day to the worst fighting in Holland. And then he was getting ready at the Battle of the Bulge, where the wind chill was minus 20. And they had to move him to the back line because he caught pneumonia, frostbitten and pneumonia. So here's a little guy from near Adel, Iowa. But the point of the story is, I said, so obviously he grew up, he was a little younger than Niall. Niall was born in 1918. So would that make him 104? Cliff is 98. So, but he said, I'd go home and every summer. And of course they grew up on a farm. And he said, I'd work out with Neil every day when he'd come home from Iowa City. I go, what did you do? There's no strength and conditioning in 1937. And I said, what did you do? He said, I returned his punts. Wow. So for two hours, they'd be out in the field. Niall would punt the football. And as you know, he was a phenomenal punter. Still has the record, I think, for 16 punts in one game.
Exactly a record you want, but.
No, but his average was a little over 40 yards. I mean, he had to be dead leg, but he said, I'd catch the ball and I'd run the ball back to him. Then I'd run back out in the field and 40, 50 yards. I said, so that's how he worked out Niall Kinnock every summer. I mean, as you said, you can't make that up. Again, pardon me, I'm a history buff and I love stories like that.
So you're just foaming at the mouth to watch this documentary.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. And I've interviewed Scott before and talked to people involved with the filming of this documentary. And of course they've been in Iowa City a lot for the background and actually for the scene shots. So it's, it's kind of like, you know, I live, Field of Dreams is about 15 miles that way behind me. So I'll take my thermos of coffee in the morning and I'll drive out to Western Dubuque County around Dyersville. And that corn right now is looking great, and drive in and around the Field of Dreams. And, you know, there's for another time, I got some great stories about the movie itself, about when they were shooting it. Cause a lot of the shots were done in downtown Dubuque and Galena. And you guys have seen the movie, I assume, right?
Of course.
A number of times. Yeah. So the scene where Burt Lancaster is, what was his name? What was the character's name? I'm trying to remember the player. He got to play in the one game, the one inning. Anyway,
Moonlight Graham.
Yeah. So Moonlight Graham is walking down the street. It's Bench Street in Galena, and the fog and the mist, they got the machines rolling, and it's being shot at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because if you've been to Galena, Highway 20 goes straight up the hill coming out of Galena. So at 2 a.m, every now and then there'd be a semi going up there, and he'd be upshifting and then downshifting if a semi's coming down. So they get the great shot, and you could hear that semi just breaking going down the hill. Cut, cut, cut. And so one of the assistant producers told me they had to shoot that scene of just when Kevin Costner sees him, he goes, there's Moonlight Graham. And he's walking to his office. He said they had to shoot that scene about 27 times to get it right. And that's what, 15 seconds in the clip. And another time they all stayed over at the Galena Territory where Eagle Ridge, they got 3-4 golf courses. It's a beautiful layout. So the GM of the property, I happen to know, and you know, this is 1988. So I'd run over on a warm afternoon, and he and I would play a quick 18 on the original course, the North Course, if you've been to Eagle Ridge. And so we're on 12 fairway. We hit our drives. We're getting ready to hit our second shot. And I hear that the guy's name was John Osmanski. Kevin, his dad was a Hall of Fame running back with the Bears, Dr. Bill Osmanski, Holy Cross University. Anyway, I hear this, hey, John, come on up. And there's this guy up on this deck through the trees, maybe 500 feet away. I go, who's that? He goes, come on, we'll hit our shots and we'll run up there. So we hit our shots. We drive up there. We're bouncing through this backyard of this rental property. Guy's only in a pair of shorts, and it's Costner. And he's sitting on the deck. And at that week, they were shooting all the scenes in the middle of the night. And he's got the wraparound shades, and he's up on his deck, and he's got a cooler full of Coors Light. He's just sitting there popping them. So went up, shook his hand. Nice guy, didn't say much, and sat there for one full beer before we went back and hit our second shots. So I got to shake Kevin's hand. Good guy. But the whole crew, Timothy Busfield, he's a hoot. I didn't get to meet Costner's wife in the movie. I can't remember her name right now, but she's a heck of an actress. But anyway, that's, Dubuque County has a great draw for movies because of the terrain. It's the oldest city in Iowa, so they have the oldest buildings in Iowa, and a lot of movies have been shot here, but I digress. I get off track.
Have you gotten a chance to go to one of the Field of Dreams games in the MLB yet?
One of the two games, you mean? No, I have not. And, you know, I grew up a Yankee fan, so I would have loved to have been there last year, but, you know, I'm around crowds 9 months out of the year, so I
stay away.
Yeah, and I got a bar now with my name on it. So we got a great courtyard, and it was packed. It's been packed for the 2 years that we've shown the game, and we got a huge jumbotron. You guys got to get up to Dubuque sometime and see.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about it. How's the establishment doing?
It's doing great. I mean, doing great.
Do you think something in Iowa with the legend Gary Dolphin's name on it wouldn't kill?
We got to do a lot.
There's only one answer. That place doesn't have a fucking empty seat.
I just got to know, what's our bourbon selection looking like?
Well, we're a high-end bar, so we've got everything you want. You name it, we got it.
Blanton's?
We got Blanton's.
Oh, Kevin.
That's hard to find. You know, that's hard to find.
It's a hard to find.
We're the only bar in town that serves Smittick's. That's that Irish red ale. Of course, we got our own Guinness tap right there at the temperature it's supposed to be at. So, see, we don't serve food, so we better get it right with the beers and the booze. We serve maybe a dozen craft beers. I've got an old RCA boom mic for Dolph's. I have Dolph's beer, and right next to it is Gables.
Got to get the Polecat Porter in there.
Dan Gables beer from Single Speed out of Waterloo. And then we got all the other summer shanties and all those wonderful things that I don't know much about the beer business, but it's a popular spot, and it's called the Iron Bar, Dolph's Iron Bar, because everybody thinks I just lift weights all day.
Because you're jacked.
And that's fine. You know, I'm ripped. Actually, it's called the Iron Works Building. It's a 150-year-old building, old farm implement machinery gear building. And then as it was modernized, it became, tractor parts. And so it's such a typical Iowa building. But in the middle of it, it's five stories. Is this
five stories?
Five stories on one end and the original three stories on the other. We're a block from the river. So it's just a great part of town. It's the old factory district, and they're going to knock all these buildings down. There's like 15 buildings, and thankfully we got a badass historic preservation commission that said, well, wait a minute. So when they put the bypass in around Dubuque, they saved these buildings. And at this time next year, now they were all empty, pigeon crap all over, broken windows. You know, this is what, 20 years ago, all empty. These are down by the old Dubuque Packing Company. Next year at this time, they'll all be full with guys your age that live in these loft condos above, and then all this retail stuff down below. It's really a great part of the city. It's
going to be great for business, I hope.
It is. And Dubuque's reinvented itself like a lot of towns in Iowa have. And it's great to see. It really is. So I got some free drink chips for you guys when you come up. Okay.
Hey.
Ooh.
Dolph, do you you tell the Costner story, and you came on before, you told a couple other amazing stories, and you know all these people, and you've gone all these places. Do you ever sit back and like think, man, what a life, what an interesting life that you've lived, and just like,
yeah,
kind of crazy, right?
Well, I've always thought that. I mean, this is our 25th year doing Iowa, 26 coming up, but
great number.
Last year, 71 was my first year in radio. So it's been 50 years, and I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of great people and personalities. And, you know, part of it is I've never had a big head about it. I mean, they're human beings, and I'm there to do an interview, hopefully. But if not, I like to think I'm a people person, a conversationalist. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy talking to you guys. I love talking to athletes. You know, I was never good enough to play at the level you guys have played at, but I always enjoyed sports, and I knew I recognized early on I wasn't good enough to play at least at the D1 level. So I thought, okay, what are you going to do with your life? Well, why not describe what all you guys are doing, football, basketball primarily? And because of that, you know, we get to meet, you know, when you're the voice of the Hawkeyes, that's a big deal. And you get to meet, first off, a lot of great alums who have gone on and done well, but a lot of great people at the other universities, in the entertainment industry. I take it all in stride, I hope. And it's been a lot of fun. It'll all be in my book, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. We got a biography coming out.
You write?
I don't know. I've been told I need to do that, but
if you don't write it, I will.
As Podolak says, buddy boy, if you're going to write a book, make it a mystery.
The quotes, man.
The quote. People don't need to know about your personal life.
That make does sound a, like him. Yeah.
Well, if Podolak, Drake liked that.
That was fantastic.
If Podolak gets more than three questions from the same person, whatever bar we're in, you go, you writing a book? make it a mystery.
Unbelievable.
As only Edward. You know, I tell people till I'm blue in the face, you ask me about how I approach this part of my life. I have the sheer joy and luck of working with a Super Bowl champion and an NBA champion.
Yeah.
I don't know of another Division I play-by-play announcer. And there's only 300 of us in basketball. There's only 130 in football. I don't know of another D1 play-by-play guy that could make that statement. I may be wrong. I have yet to meet him. And it's not all about winning championships, but when you have a Super Bowl champion and an NBA champion, and they were great stars at the University of Iowa, great collegians, they know what they're talking about. So I tee them up, get out of their way. And there's nobody better than Podolak. You guys know that. I mean, he doesn't care who he offends. He doesn't care. As I tell people, and I speak to a lot of classes, I go, my job is to tell you what happened. He tells you why it happened, and nobody is better than Podolak or Bobby Hansen at explaining why what we saw, why it happened. And, you know, when you win championships like we did last year, basketball, football division, Big Ten title game, nothing better than having those two guys offer their opinion throughout the broadcast. And as you know, in Iowa, we're a radio state. I mean, we are a We're a farm state agricultural spine. And so those farmers, they got their radios on, and everybody in every city has their radio on. And Iowa football on Saturday afternoon is a happening. That's why we have a 7-hour broadcast. So it is. It's
and then
a
I come on love, after you, Gary,
which, you know, spices it up even you and Doug.
Yep. WMT. Catch us.
So I forget if it was Tom or Terry Brands one time was talking to us, and he says, "I don't watch the games. I just listen to Dolph. I get a better picture in my head that way."
That would be Tom. Says,
that's the only way I'm going to do it until Dolph stops calling.
Well, Tom and Terry are both have expressed that to me. They are, I mean, they're the best. I mean, that's why Iowa wrestling. That's why you see a big hole in the ground now next to Carver Hawkeye Arena, to the tune of $25 million that they've raised from 250 donors, whatever it is. Those guys are phenomenal, and you know, it started with Gary Kirtlemeyer, who the university then hired Dan Gable to be Kirtlemeyer's assistant, and then along came you know, Zaleski and others, but Tom Brands, you know, he reminds me a lot of Gable. His mannerisms are a lot like Dan Gable, just fiery, you know, like Spencer Lee. Spencer, yeah, he'll pin you eventually, but he loves to throw you all over the mat for 5, 10, 7 or 10 minutes, and then pin you. He wants to hurt you and whip your butt before he takes you to your back. And that, those are the Brands brothers. And well, you've guys seen them off the mat during matches. So they
just
are
the ultimate competitors.
Oh my God.
So much fun to watch.
We got to get one of them on the show. We got to, man.
Well, you should be able to get that done. I mean, come on. They're good about that.
Right.
Have you tried? Have you had them on?
No. We'll get there. We'll get there. And we want to be respectful of your time too, Dolph. But as we end this podcast here, I want to know, we're, you know, you said 25 years, you're getting celebrated for 25 years here, in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Ferentz is in his third decade of coaching now. What excites you? Well, his third coach, you know, his third decade at the helm.
Yes. 24th year.
Right. What excites you about this 22 team?
Well, the defense. We've already talked about Campbell, Riley Moss. You know, I'm attaching Riley Moss to this recruiting class because I thought he'd be gone. And I said to him, I said, why are you back? He goes, well, you know, I went to the combine, and typical BS, they told me my arms are too short and I'm not fast enough. So he said, I'm going to use that as motivation this year. I go, well, didn't you win multiple state high school sprint championships? Yeah, but that doesn't mean shit. I go, well, apparently it doesn't to some NFL scouts. So do I like his attitude right now? Whew, man. And you know, they've been bitten by some injuries on both sides of the football, but I think, you know, nothing that's long or sustaining. They should be okay by opening day. But I love the defense as much for the system as the personnel. Because there's something about the Iowa way. And if you ask opposing coaches, they'll say, hey, they're physical. They turn you over and they score points off turnovers. And, you know, when you put that simple math together, you're going to win a lot of football games. Part of the defense we talked about earlier is Torrey Taylor. I mean, when you can give your defense, as good as that Iowa defense is, when you can give them that kind of field position, you guys know better than I how that not A fires up a defense when they trot out to the other guy's red zone, as I like to call it, because then you're looking for them to make a mistake. And when you have guys like Benson, and let me tell you guys, this front down line group, collectively, I look at Van Ness and I see a little bit of AJ Epinesa, and Deontay Craig is another Joe Evans reinvented. Noah Shannon has been solid. Herkett is healthy. I know I'm leaving some guys out. I'm going to the top of my head here, but and then we've heard for the last 3 or 4 years how well Iowa has recruited. Well, Cooper DeJean, Xavier Wampa, but go back a couple years, you're going to start seeing a lot of those guys on the football field, and they are good. So defense, Torrey Taylor, special teams in general, I think between Blum and Drew, they'll find the kicker they need. You know, that had me concerned in the spring.
Yeah.
I'm liking what I'm seeing now. And offensively, we can bitch about the quarterbacks all we want, but you guys know the guys with their hand in the dirt is where it starts. And I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing there. Mm. Now they got a couple guys, Nick, that they need to get up to speed, but Connor Colby, he's as good as there is in the Big Ten. You're going to love Logan. The next, not Tyler Linderbaum, but he's pretty close. Oof. Logan Jones.
High praise.
I mean, he reminds me of Tyler is when this kid has got the ball about halfway between his legs. Tyler, you know this better than anybody. His feet are moving. He's already out taking on that first guy.
Damn.
Or maybe he's going straight ahead. And then he's looking for that next level. So he's got the quicks. He's got the strength. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but, you know, we're used to those 6'5", 6'6", 285 or 90-pound offensive linemen. Most of them are at 305 to 308. So something's changed in the strength and conditioning mode. We never used to like to have them that big because we were more concerned. We wanted them leaner and faster. Well, they're still lean and they're fast, but they're 308. On average at the guards and the tackles. So I like what I'm seeing there. And the encouraging thing to me, the most encouraging thing to me in this year was the 6 yard per carry average in the Citrus Bowl. Mm-hmm. With the Williams boys, no relation. Gavin and LaShawn, and are you going to love this kid from Ohio, this freshman? He's something special. Caleb Johnson. This is me talking.
I've seen a couple things come out about him looking real.
Oh boy. What I love about him is he knows two directions, north and south, and he brings the power with it. I'd say he's a bigger version of Sean Green, but I don't want to put that label on him, but they got two freshman running backs that I love. Patterson, the kid, Jazoon, I believe you pronounce it, kid out of Florida. There's a reason Liddell's coaching the running backs. There's a reason Abdul's coaching the tight ends. I mean, that might be the thing we haven't touched on the most is how Kirk has turned this staff over slowly but surely with younger guys who played at Iowa. And you guys know better than all of us. That's special when you can coach at your alma mater, let alone play at it.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Got some high hopes now, Dolph.
Liddell Betts has been doing his thing.
A bigger Sean Green.
Yeah, don't repeat that though. I don't want to be accused of putting too much pressure on this kid. Man. But I mean, he carries himself when he takes his helmet off. He walks around like. You're looking at him going, this kid can't be a true freshman. He can't be a true freshman, but he is.
Something about that recruiting last few years, they've been getting it done.
And that's why I mentioned Abdul and Liddell. And, you know, LaVar is a head coach in waiting. I mean, he is.
A lot of people want him to be the guy after Kirk.
Well, he might be. I mean, Seth Wallace. I mean, look at the average ages now of our, you know, and Kenny O'Keefe, God love him. Kenny knew it was time to move on, and Reese Morgan before him. But yet there's still, you know, Jay Neiman's out there still doing his thing. George is a young offensive line coach and they love him. Summation, we're in pretty good hands from the head man on down. And I didn't mention Brian. I mean, I shouldn't need to mention Brian Ferentz. He's a lightning rod and he loves being a lightning rod. He is going to do his thing. He's got a little of the old man in him. He's a little more animated than the old man. Mm. And I love it. I love it. Hey, you know what? We're Iowa. We win 8, 9, 10 games a year. I'm happy. Yeah. Oh. I'd like to win national championships, but hey, sign me up.
19 bowl games. We've yelled at fans for 3 years about expectations and winning championships every year. We know.
I can, if we had another hour, I'd name you, 107 or 8 schools that would love to be in Iowa's position.
I'm kidding right now. Yeah.
We'll do that another time. All right.
We will definitely have you back on. We're just gracious for the hour that you gave us.
I got one last question before we wrap up, Clove.
Okay.
What bull ring you got on?
This is one of my favorites now. It's okay. a little partial.
I'm curious.
Well, this is the 2010 Orange Bowl.
Okay.
The ass kicking.
Wondering who you're repping out there.
The ass kicking of Georgia Tech. All we heard for a month was, and they were legit, but they were playing Norm Parker's defense, Adrian Claiborne, Pat Anger, AJ Eads. I could go on and on and on. And 300 yards a game rushing with that triple option.
They thought they were going to run for 300 on Pat Anger. They met Pat Anger.
Yeah. Well, they did that night. And they had a great option quarterback with a number one draft pick at wide receiver. So they had all the components. And Kirk Ferentz told me that week that he was walking by Norm Parker's office at 11 o'clock one night before the plane was getting ready to leave the next day or the day after. And Norm had this old manila folder. I had one here earlier. There aren't many manila folders left around. Rabbit-eared. And he's got all these handwritten notes. And he's got it spread out over his table. And Kirk looks at his watch. He goes, Norm, what the hell are you doing here? Well, he said, I'm altering a few things for the game next week with Georgia. What do you mean? Well, he said, when I was at, I think it was Hyde Park High School in a tough redneck suburb of Detroit. He said, we played a number of teams that ran that triple option and we just stuffed it. And it's because of these plays. And he held up these hand on yellow line paper that he was looking at. And I thought about that throughout the entire broadcast. I go, Norm's got the manila folder with him. Adrian Claiborne terrorized that Georgia Tech offense because they'd never seen anybody get to the outside that quick. And then to your point, Drake, here comes Anger barreling down the middle, chasing that quarterback down and ankle tackling him and face planting him. And the freshman running back from
Wager,
Sioux City. Yeah. Wager had a great night. In fact, he was the offensive player of the game, as I remember. And Ricky Stanzi in the end is wrapped in the American flag. And he said, America, love it or get out of town, love it or leave it. So that's why I love this ring. That was one of the most impressive Iowa bowl wins or wins period that I've ever witnessed and had the pleasure of calling, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah. Good question, Kev.
Yeah. Well, I was curious who you're repping.
You know, I've got a bunch of rings I could wear, but this one's special. I got a picture of Norm. I got a picture of Norm Parker hanging over there on the other end of my office here. He's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, Dolph, we appreciate you coming on so much. It's about to get busy for you. Like you said,
it is
a bunch of football games, a bunch of basketball games. And you giving us your time it kind of adds to that Iowa culture. Just everybody being Iowa.
You know where I'm at anytime, Tyler, Drake, Kevin, good to see you guys.
Great to see you, Dolph. I'm looking forward to listening to you this year, man.
Yep.
It starts in a week. We'll see you this fall, guys.
Yes, sir. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. Thank you guys for listening to our conversation with Dolph. Till next time. Peace.